Turn with me to the book of Colossians, if you will. Colossians chapter 3. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 984. Your mileage may vary if you're using your own. I don't think they have page numbers on phones, but you can find it one way or another. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. These verses are kind of a jumping off point for us because we're going to talk about gratitude this morning and next week. But I want you to see in Colossians how gratitude is woven through everything in the life of the church. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Listen to what it says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You pray with me. Father in heaven, as we turn to your word now and we see what you want us to learn about gratitude in our lives, Father, will you open our hearts? Will you set aside the things that are drawing us into anxiety or distractedness or forgetfulness? Father, enable us to honor you by giving your word our attention now. Lord, I pray that you would, above all of it, fill our hearts with gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done for us this morning. We ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was preparing this sermon, I kept thinking of a story Dad told about one of his graduate classes. Dad taught graduate classes for teachers for years because teachers have to have their Act 48 clearance, or not clearance, it's like a certification, continuing education. If you're a teacher, you're in for lifelong learning. You always have to keep those credits up to date. And so he'd always have a mix of teachers in his classes. And at one point, they were all making fun of the kindergarten teacher. Right? That they were all high school teachers and kindergarten. And the kindergarten teacher turned back and said, listen, I have the most important job in education. When you go and you tell your students, put your chairs in a circle, who do you think taught them what a circle was? He's like, it's the kindergarten teachers. And the point's well made, isn't it? You can't get anywhere until you have the basics down. You've got to learn those fundamentals. You've got to learn those basics. There's no way to progress in education until you master the basics. Go back to those ABCs. I want to suggest to you this morning that as Christians, you and I are engaged in lifelong learning. We are always to be progressing. Peter writes in his second epistle, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to grow in grace. We're to become more gracious in our own lives and with one another and depending more and more on the grace of Jesus who saved us. But we're also to grow in knowledge. We're to continue to learn. And that grace and knowledge are joined. The more you know about Jesus, the more grace extends in your life. And the more you experience of God's grace, the more you want to know Christ better. So growing in grace and knowledge is the goal of every Christian, that lifelong learning, that continuing education is the way we put it at Penn State. Well, since next week is Thanksgiving, I thought it would be appropriate to look specifically at how we're to grow in the grace of gratitude. How are we to grow in the grace of gratitude as Christians? So what I want to show you from the scriptures this morning is that learning to grow in gratitude is a lifelong pursuit of the Christian. Learning to grow in gratitude is a lifelong pursuit of the Christian. It's continuing education your whole life. And that's one of the things I wanted us to see. When you look into our text this morning, you see how gratitude is woven through every part of the life of the Christian in the church. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which you indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. So everything you do has to be bounded and characterized in one way or another with gratitude. That's what God is calling us to do. And I think one of the reasons why Christians are to be defined by our gratitude, by being grateful is because the Bible identifies ingratitude as a sign of rejection of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Lord willing, we'll look at this more like next week. Paul writes about those who reject him. They said, although they knew God, they did not honor God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So if ingratitude is a characteristic of those who deny God, then gratitude, right, must be a characteristic of those who love God. Lord willing, like I said, we're going to see more about the power of gratitude in our lives and in the world around us next week. This week I want to look at the curriculum of gratitude. Next week it's the weapon of gratitude in our lives. But today I want us to see the ways that we're to grow in the grace of gratitude as Christians. So I want to keep it in the theme of our opening illustration. We're going to talk about gratitude in terms of a curriculum that you follow. All the homeschoolers in the room, as soon as I say curriculum, you all know what we're talking about, right? We got to figure out how to lay out our lesson plans, lay out what we're doing. Like any curriculum, where do you start? With the ABCs. You start with the basics. You start with what is a circle. That's the kindergarten level, right? All the foundation for what you're going to learn starts there. So the kindergarten of gratitude, if you will, I think that the scriptures show us that the very basics of gratitude takes place in a relationship to the things God gives us. Takes place in a relationship to the things that God gives us. Kindergarten teacher says, okay, kids, here's what a circle is, so that years later in high school, you know how to put your chairs in a circle. So in the same way, the way that you and I think about the material things that we've been given, the physical blessings we've been given, that's the first step. The grammar school. How many of you grew up talking about elementary school as grammar school? Did you ever hear that? Depending on where you're at, you may have heard that before. Well, grammar, in the old classical education triumvirate, you have grammar and then you have logic and rhetoric. Grammar is the basics. It's the building blocks. It's the ABCs. So the building blocks of gratitude are being grateful for the things God has given us. We see that back in Deuteronomy where he trains his people to say thank you. Parents, what do you teach your kids to do all the time, right? You teach them to say thank you. What do you say? Yesterday at the coat drive, as kids were walking out the door, all the parents like, what do you say? They turn around, thank you. That's the ABCs of gratitude. You learn to say thank you for stuff. And in Deuteronomy, you see God telling the people that specifically. Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 through 10. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. In other words, God says, I am giving you this beautiful abundance of physical stuff. These blessings, it's like you don't even have to dig for the iron. They're just stones. And you just throw them right into the smelter. And all of the food and all of the abundance. And in verse 10, it says, you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. In the Old Testament, the word blessing is a synonym for thanking. So when you bless God, you're thanking God. You shall thank God, the Lord your God, for the good land he has given you. See, that's the foundation of gratitude. The ABCs of gratitude consists of recognizing your dependence on God. First piece there, recognizing your dependence on God. And we'll unpack this more next week, but if you say thank you to someone, doesn't that imply that there's someone to thank? That's the thing about Thanksgiving next week. Ask somebody. It was like, who are you thanking? But just that you can't be thankful unless there's somebody to thank. Gratitude acknowledges that you're a dependent being. You depend on someone else. That's the first thing that gratitude does. When you cultivate those ABCs of saying thank you, you are recognizing that you depend on God. Jesus taught us the same thing in Matthew chapter 6 in what we call the Lord's Prayer. What did he say? He taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. He was demonstrating that you and I are dependent every day on God for everything in our lives. Gratitude recognizes that you are a dependent being. You depend on God. You thank him for supplying your needs. When you start off by recognizing you're totally dependent on God for everything in your life, your food, your shelter, your health, your safety, your income, your vehicle, your clothing, your medicine, your possessions, all of it. And you start off recognizing there's nothing that you use or pick up or sit next to or sit on or eat or drink or anything all day that you can't say, wow, God, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for, you know, thank you for this house. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you. When you begin doing that, see, that's the ABCs. That's the very basics of gratitude. The foundation of gratitude is recognizing your dependence on God. The next step in the kindergarten of gratitude is expressing your thanks to God. And that's what I mean by you teach your kids to say, what do you say? You say thank you. You teach your kids to say it automatically. It becomes second nature. You don't even have to think about it after a while. It's automatic. Thank you. Jesus modeled this for us his whole life, didn't he? You see it over and over. John chapter 6, verse 11. Jesus took the loaves and the fish when he multiplied the loaves. And what did he do? And when he had given thanks. Jesus showed us how to give thanks for those physical blessings. On the night he was betrayed, in Luke chapter 22, at the Last Supper, when he had took bread and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, if somebody ever asked you, if your kids or somebody ever asked you, why do you pray before you eat? You know why we do it? Because Jesus told us to. Jesus showed us that before you eat, you thank God for your food. It's the ABC kindergarten of gratitude. We thank him because he's gracious and kind, not just for the nutrition that our meals provide us, but for the delight that we take in eating. Thank you, Lord, for giving me taste buds. I could have just taken on nutrients. I know. And all of my post-COVID family is laughing right now because none of us have functional taste buds right now, you know. But it makes you more grateful, doesn't it? But you see, again, what are you doing? It's the very basics at the ABC level of gratitude, thanking God for the things in your life. Now, you know, saying grace before a meal can become kind of like automatic, a rote repetition. And while you want to drive it into your heart so that it's something you do automatically, you want it to mean something. What would you do? I mean, it's common for you to thank God for your meal. But what if you ever stopped in the middle of a meal and said, this is such a good supper. This is so delicious. Let's stop and thank God again. Then it would show the place of gratitude in your life, wouldn't it? A friend of mine in college, her family was very strict, like Dutch Reformed or something like that. And she had a friend over for a meal, and she told them, listen, we're going to say grace before we eat, but when you're done eating, don't get up, because we also say grace after we eat. We thank God for the food. And they did it twice, at the beginning and at the end of their meal. I think there's something to be said for that sort of thing, where you are conscious of being grateful for the things that God gives you in your life. And when you start off with that ABCs level, you thank God for the things in your life, for all those physical blessings. And you go home today and start thinking about it, just start looking around and all the things that you can thank God for. Well, once you get through the kindergarten, once you get through the grammar school, the next step is high school, right? Once you get through elementary school, you get into high school, and then you move into the next level of training in gratitude. First, for the things God gives us. Secondly, showing gratitude for the people God gives us. That's the next step. Once you've mastered thanking God for things, you move on now from grammar to logic. You've learned the building blocks. Now you learn how to use the building blocks. You learn how to put them together so they don't fall. You learn how to manipulate them and understand them. So the second step of gratitude is being thankful for the people that God has given you. And again, we see the examples all through the scriptures of gratitude for people. The apostle Paul was famous for that. In his opening to the first letter to the Corinthians, I want to read this in detail. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. Listen to Paul's gratitude. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. In every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. You are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This beautiful expression of God, of Paul's gratitude to God for the church in Corinth. Now think about that. Because of all the churches Paul dealt with, the church in Corinth was probably the biggest pain in the neck. They had a lot of problems, and yet Paul was deeply grateful for them. I thank God for you. Being grateful for the people in your life, even if they can be a pain in the neck sometimes. That's the high school of gratitude. Learning to be grateful. You can be grateful for things because they're just things. But it's harder to be grateful for people sometimes, isn't it? It's easier to take them for granted sometimes. But when you look at the scriptures, you can't escape. Paul, I mean, if you go down through the New Testament, it's everywhere. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Colossians 1:3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mention you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank my God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience that I remember you constantly in my prayers. Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy. Thankfulness, thankfulness, thanking God for people, thanking God for people, thanking God for people. It's harder to thank God for people than it is to thank God for things, because sometimes, like the church in Corinth, people can be a pain in the neck. But you must go through the high school curriculum of learning to thank God for people. And the first thing that means is you don't take for granted people who bless you. Don't take for granted the people in your life that bless you. At the end of the book of Romans, Paul has this big long list of people to thank who blessed him. And among them, in verses 3 and 4 of Romans 16, he talks about Aquila and Priscilla. He says, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Be thankful for the people who bless you. Be thankful for the people who stick their neck out for you. Be thankful for the people who sacrifice for you. I'm talking to kids here. You know what that means? You're thankful for mom. You're thankful for dad. You're thankful for what they do. And not only that you're thankful, but you express that thankfulness and that gratitude. Don't take for granted the people who serve you, the people who bless you. You thank the leadership of your church for the time and energy they put into praying for you and seeking God's direction for your family. You thank each other regularly and out loud. You thank God for the people in your life. You thank the people. You tell the people. I love the way Paul does it, and I think the way to do it is not just to say thank you to them. I mean, and that's great. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for how you've ministered to me. Thank you for how you've stuck your neck out for me. But when you turn to them and you say, you know, I thank God for you. I'm so grateful to God that he's given me a chance to walk along with you in our lives together and all that you've done for me. I just want to tell you, I thank God all the time for you. That's expressing gratitude at that level where it's harder to thank God for people than things. And that's what God wants us to do. He says, I want you to don't take for granted people who bless you, because what God wants from us is to create a demeanor of gratitude. Create a demeanor of gratitude. You know what a demeanor is? It's just the way you look. It's your countenance. It's your default setting. That when you are automatically and completely grateful. That's just the way your brain operates. Make it your aim that when the engine of your mind is idling, right, that the rhythm of it is Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God for everything and everybody. Grow to live your life in such a way that your life exudes a spirit of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the lifelong pursuit of the Christian, is learning the curriculum of gratitude. You start off with the easy part, thanking God for stuff. And it gets a little harder to thank God for people, even the ones who are a pain in the neck. But then, creating that demeanor of gratitude, those building blocks of gratitude where you are prepared to say thank you for everything in all circumstances, now you enter the graduate school of gratitude. And that is thanking God for the afflictions that he gives us. It's easy to thank God for stuff. That's the kindergarten level. It gets a little more complicated when you thank God for people. But the graduate level, the rhetoric side of the triumvirate, learning to thank God for the afflictions that he's brought into your life. You can take 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, and you can push it out into the skinny branches. You can push it out and even thank God for the tragedies and the heartbreaks and the trials that come your way. This is the graduate school of gratitude, and this is God's aim for every one of you, to learn to give thanks for the afflictions God gives you. Psalm 119:71, where the psalmist says, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." It's good that I went through this. It's good that I went through this cancer. It's good that I went through this loss. It's good for me that I went through this difficulty and this heartbreak and this pain and this. It's good for me because I learned your statutes. That's the first thing we see, is that the graduate school of gratitude is where you learn to be grateful for the afflictions, because they teach you more about God's word and about God's character. Because your suffering creates godliness in you. Your suffering creates godliness in you. This is what Paul says in Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. He says, not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings. We're thankful to God for our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The tragedies that you suffer, the disappointments and the heartbreaks and the pain and the loss that you've endured, the scriptures say will make you shine like pure gold on the day when Jesus is revealed. 1 Peter 1:6-7. You rejoice though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that's refined by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter says those trials may be necessary, but they will prove the reality of your faith in Christ, and those afflictions are God's means of strengthening and establishing and refining your faith so that you can shine with his godliness. You see, the suffering that you go through creates godliness in you, and that means it's a reason for you to be thankful. Thank you, Lord, for the refining that you're putting me through. That's hard. That's graduate level thankfulness. But that's what God aims for you. You know, one of the things that we, and especially this time of year, you know, all the focus of Thanksgiving, family and friends and being together. And there is an affliction for a lot of folks that don't have anybody. You're not married. You don't have kids. You don't have grandkids. You're by yourself. And it's an affliction. You don't want to be alone. You want to have that. You want to have that blessing, but you don't. Well, it's an affliction. It's not an easy thing. It's a trial. It's a hard thing. Graduate level gratitude is where you can turn to God and say, I don't understand it. I don't know why, but thank you. Thank you that I am where I am at. Even in the things that I think I'm missing out on, even in the things that I feel a hole or an emptiness, that's an affliction. It's not a good thing. It's an affliction, but it's an affliction that God has brought into your life because he is refining you. And graduate level gratitude is where you can begin to say to God, thank you for this affliction. Thank you for this suffering. Thank you for that diagnosis. Thank you for the fact that I'm losing my job. Thank you for the fact that I have family members that won't talk to me now, and the heartbreak that brings. Thank you for that affliction. Thank you for that, because it means that you are creating godliness in me. And secondly, you know what it teaches you? That graduate level gratitude unites you with Christ. You are united in the sufferings of Christ by that affliction. This is what Paul was getting at in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says that I may know him, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. When you suffer in this life, when you're hated and reviled, when you're outcast and lonely, when you live in unrelenting pain, or when you're blown down by tragedy and loss, the scripture says you are being given a precious and glorious connection with Jesus Christ. We're fond of saying, and it's true, Hebrews 4:15, we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus has suffered. Jesus knew suffering on a level that you and I never will. And so that means he understands. He understands you in your afflictions. He understands you in your pain. He understands you in your loneliness. He understands you in your anxiety. He understands you in all of those things. But you know what else is true? In some small way, in some tiny glimpse, you understand Jesus' heart. You understand what he went through. Not only, it's good to know that he understands you, but you know what? When your heart breaks, when the pain comes again and won't stop, when more bad news hits you, you say, this is how Jesus felt. He invites you into that. That is a precious thing that he is saying in that pain, I suffered like this. This is what it was like. What intimacy to have him sit down with you and explain to you. This is, you know what? You know what I went through? You know how I felt? You know what happened in my heart here? Here it was like this. He gives that to you. What a gift to see it that way. I love to quote, and it's a tribute to Samuel Rutherford, where he says that whenever I am in the cellar of afflictions, I always look around for the Lord's choicest wines. Surely one of the greatest gifts you have in the cellar of that affliction is Jesus sitting down with you and saying, I know how you feel, and you know how I feel. The intimacy that you have with Christ and the afflictions that he gives you is a reason to thank him, to be truly grateful for that suffering. That's the graduate level gratitude that you're called to. And make no mistake, Christian, you're called to that. You're called to get there. You don't drop out after grammar school. You don't stay in high school for 15 years, right? You go on to graduate school. And then you go on to the master's level. Then you go on to the doctorate level. Then you go on to the postdoctorate level, and you find a way to become a professional student in gratitude. You never stop. You continue to learn. The lifelong pursuit of the Christian is to grow in gratitude for the things God gives you. That's the easy part, because things can't talk back to you. Things can't disappoint you. Things can't hurt you the way people can. So you start off with the ABCs, the grammar school of gratitude for things. And then you learn how to give thanks for the people, even when they're a pain in the neck, even when it's difficult. And then God leads you and he grows you and he matures you to where you can genuinely thank him for your afflictions. And you see, do you know what makes it possible to thank God for those afflictions? Do you know what makes it possible to thank God for pain? To thank God for mortality? To thank God for the approach of death? To thank God for these things? It's because your Savior Jesus Christ passed through death himself and opened the gates to heaven through that grave. And so that means that nothing that happens to you in this life can take away your certainty and your hope and your reward of eternal life in heaven with him. He has made through his suffering the way for you to pass through your suffering into his presence, where there's fullness of joy forevermore. It is the sufferings of Jesus Christ that deserve your ultimate gratitude. Be grateful for the things he's given you. Be grateful for the people he's given you. Be grateful for the afflictions he's given you. But most of all, be grateful for his afflictions that gave you all of it. When you come to Jesus Christ in repentance for your sin, when you lay down your rebellion against God and call on him to save you from his wrath, he looks on the afflictions of Christ as sufficient for you. And he counts you righteous based on Jesus' sufferings. From a child of wrath to a beloved son or daughter. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what tragedies or heartbreaks or losses or desperate darkness descends upon you, God redeems those afflictions with your hope that Jesus Christ meets you in the middle of them. He is present in your afflictions in a way that you could never experience otherwise, producing endurance and character and hope that will never put you to shame. So thank God this week. Thank him for the stuff. Thank him for all of those things. You'll spend the whole day just walking around your house, just walking around going, wow, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Go through the ABCs of gratitude. All of the stuff that he's given you and thank him for it. And then you go through and you start thanking him for the people in your life. There's people that's easy to thank God for, and there's people that you take for granted. Don't take them for granted. Then there's the people that can be a pain in the neck. You thank God for them as well. It's harder to thank God for people than stuff, but you're expected to do it because you move from there to thanking God for those afflictions. If you come here this morning apart from Christ, you can make this the day when you can, this can be the day that you thank God for more than any other day of your life. When you come to him in repentance and faith, you repent of your sin, you embrace him as your Savior. Come talk to me if you want to talk about that, if you want to know more about what that means. We can help make this the day of your greatest gratitude of your whole life, the day when you come to trust in your Savior Jesus Christ. So let's start on that curriculum of gratitude. Let's thank God for the stuff and for the people and even for the afflictions, because it's in those things that you meet your Savior Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, will you train us? Will you continue to teach us what it means to exhibit that gratitude, to be people who are just known for being grateful? Father, the world around us is so full of ingratitude and hatred and envy and striving. And they don't know what to do with a truly grateful person. They don't know what to do with somebody who is just grateful, is just thankful for our stuff and for our people and even for the pain in our lives. Father, won't you teach us, grow us up in this curriculum of gratitude, make us lifelong learners so that we may, just as your scriptures tell us, give thanks in every circumstance. This is your will for us, and so we know that you are capable and able and willing to strengthen us to it. So, Father, won't you make us a grateful people this week? I pray in Jesus' name, amen.